Welcome to Torat Imech Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Yud Aleph. We will continue the story of the rulership and kingdom of Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Vayavo Rechavam Yerushalayim, Rechavam came to Yerushalayim, Vayekahel es Beis Yehuda uBinyamin, Me'el Ushmonim Elef, Bachur Osei Mechama. He came to Yerushalayim, he assembled the house of Yehuda and Binyamin, 180,000 select warriors, Lihi Lachem im Yisrael. So remember, if you remember from yesterday's chapter, we have Rechavam over Malchus Yehuda and Yeravam over Malchus Yisrael. Rechavam didn't want to lower the taxes like we learned, and now Rechavam comes and he gets a mass army, Lihi Lachem Yisrael, Lahashiv as Hamamlacha LeRechavam. He wants to restore the entire kingdom under his dominion, and he wants to go to war with Malchus Yisrael. However, he is about to be stopped by a prophet of God. Pasuk Beis, Vayihi Dvar Hashem El Shmayahu Ish Elokim Lemor. The word of God was to Shmayahu, the man of God, saying, interestingly, Rabbi Dean Steinzel tells us this is a prophet who is apparently from the land of Yehuda, who is not mentioned in any other context except for here. Once again, we see how significant names are in Tanakh. Shmayahu, Shama, Shin Mem Aleph, to hear, Shama Ka, to listen to the word of God. And what is the word of God to this Shmayahu, who is mentioned nowhere else except for here? And more, El Rechavam ben Shlomo Melech Yehuda. Say to Rechavam, the son of King Solomon, the king of Judah, V'al kol Yisrael b'Yehuda b'Binyamin lemor, and to all of the Israelites who dwell in the territory of Yehuda and Binyamin, saying, so says Hashem, lo sa'alu v'lo silochamu imachechem. Do not go up, do not fight against your brethren. So God is going to put a stop to the war that Rechavam wants to wage against Yeravam and Malchus Yisrael. Shuvu ish the beso. Each man should return to his house. Kimi iti niya hadavarza. Because this matter, the split of the kingdom and the rulership of Yeravam, is from me, Hashem. Vayishmu es divrei Hashem. And fascinating, they listen to the word of God. Vayishuvu milechas al Yeravam. And they return from going to war against Yeravam. And Rabbi Dean Steinzelt points out here that this episode highlights the great esteem in which the people held the Nevi'im at that time. The unity of the kingdom had been threatened, like we saw, and politically this may have been the only opportunity Rechavam had to prevent the people of Israel from establishing an independent and stable kingdom of their own. So he wants to put them back together and he wants to get everyone under his dominion. But when this prophet Shmayahu, the man of God, comes and he says, don't go to war, they go back home. And here we have a prophet who ordered the people to halt their preparation for battle, to return to their home. This prophetic instruction carried so much weight, Rechavam refrained from reacting to the rebellion. So he does not act to the rebellion that has been headed by Yeravam, despite his desire to restore himself control over the entire nation. So you see that how much he wanted to restore control over the entire nation. Nevertheless, he holds the prophet in great esteem, and they do not continue to go to battle. They don't even start to go to battle. They discontinue amassing troops. Pasuk Hei, Vayeshiv Rechavam b'Yerushalayim. And now the next series of Pesukim tell us about Rechavam's building campaign. And Rechavam dwelled in Jerusalem, Vayivim Arim Lamatzar b'Yehuda. And he starts to build fortified cities in Yehuda. Why does he need fortified cities, Arim Lamatzar? So Rabbi Dean Steinzel suggests it's in recognition of the new reality of tense relations with the emerging Malchus Yisrael, Kingdom of Israel. Relations between the two kingdoms were often antagonistic and occasionally even deteriorated into outright war. In recognition of this fact, the king here starts to build fortified cities. Now listen to the names of the cities, the fortified cities he built under his dominion. Vayivein es Beis Lachem, ve'es Eitam, ve'es Tekoa, ve'et Beit Zur, ve'et Shocho, ve'et Adulam, ve'et Gat, ve'et Maresha, ve'et Zif, ve'et Adorayim, ve'et Lachish, ve'et Azeka, ve'et Sera'a, ve'et Ayalon, ve'et Chevron, asher b'Yehuda, b'Binyamin, arei Mitzuros. So he builds these fortified cities. Some of the names, of course, sound familiar to us. Beis Lechem obviously sounds familiar to us. Chevron obviously sounds familiar to us. I want to specifically talk about Tekoa. Unbelievably, here in this pasuk, we are told that in ancient times, the son of Shlomo, Rechavam, built a city named Tekoa. Now, there is a yeshuv today named Tekoa. There's a city today named Tekoa. Why is it so famous? As soon as I sat down and I was preparing this parak to teach and to give over with you, Tekoa strikes a very deep chord. Some of you may remember, like me, that is where Kobi Mendel and Yossi Ishran, Hashem Yinkom Damam, lived. They were two teenage boys, about 13 years old. They skipped a day of school and they went hiking in the caves behind their home in Tekoa. And they were murdered, Rachman al-Atzlan, by wicked Arab terrorists, Yimach Shemam v'Zichem. They were stoned to death in the caves, in the wadi, if you will, behind their home in Tekoa. So when I was preparing this, I actually went to look it up online. I Googled it. I didn't remember what year it was in. I cannot believe it. It was May 8th, 2001. I did not realize how many years ago it was. I was really astonished. May 8, 2001, Kobi Mendel and Yossi Ishran, two close friends, went hiking behind their home in Tekoa, and they were stoned to death. And here we have, in ancient times, under Rechavam, Tekoa was first built up for the first time. So he builds these fortified cities, and he strengthens the fortification, the Pesukim tells, Pesuk Yud Aleph, Vayitin Bahem Negidim Ve'otros Ma'achal Vish Shemen v'yayin. So in order to fortify the cities, he installs rulers over these cities. And also, what does he put in them? Otsro machal, fortification, storehouses of food, the shemen and oil, the yayin and wine, u'bechol ir v'ir. And in each and every city, there are shields, tzinot, u'remachim, shields and spears. Vayikach asaromach biado. We know that Pinchas took the spear in his hand, and he speared the Ish Yisraelit and the Midianit who were laying together publicly, and the precious Balak. Here we have the same show rush. I would just tell you a teaching tool, something that I say often in my teaching, or I should say a learning or studying tool. If you are learning Lashon HaKodesh, if you're studying Tanakh and you come across a word that you don't know, before you run to learn, look at the English. It's very important. Try and identify the shoresh. And I find that when I identify the shoresh, very often I can figure out on my own without the English, even though, yes, the English is obviously helpful, and we live in Galut, and many of us need it. But nevertheless, I find it very helpful to try and identify the shoresh. So, uvechol ir ve'ir, tzino u'remachim. What are remachim? Well, if you remember, vayikach Pinchas asaromach biyado, vayakom mitocha eida. If you remember that Pinchas took the spear in his hand to kill Zimri and Cosby, remachim mean spears. Vayachaz came lahar be'me'ot. So he strengthens these fortified cities very, very much. Vayihilo Yehuda u'Binyamin. So he is a strong ruler over the territories of Yehuda and Binyamin. Vamalchus Yisrael is not under his dominion, and he has been prevented from going to war. The next part of the parak tells us that the Kohanim and the Levim that were in the entire land of Israel all came from all the borders. They came to the territory of Rechavam. Why? Because Yeravam had prevented them from disserving the Lord. Yeravam had prevented the Kohanim and Levim from doing their job of serving the Lord. And in practice means they have no source of livelihood. And therefore, they converge into the territory of King Rechavam. Why? Because Yeravam appointed for himself priests for the shrines and for the demonic rituals and for the calves that he had made. So Rabbi Adin Steinzelt notes that from descriptions elsewhere, Yeravam was not engaged in full-fledged idolatry. However, he was putting up representations of God. And we know that once a person begins to put up representations and images and things that are forbidden, you're walking on a very slippery slope. He stripped the Kohanim and the Levim of their status. He replaced them with any person who was willing to fulfill their role regardless of lineage. So the Levim and the Kohanim are desperate. So what do? They come to be in Jerusalem, to work in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, the service of God under Rechavam. Pasuk Yud Zayin tells us, Vayichazku es Malchus Yehuda, Vayaamtsu es Rechavam ben Shlomo l'shanim shalosh. They strengthen the kingdom of Yehuda. It is bolstered. The rulership, the Malchus of Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, is bolstered for 3 years. And they follow the people, follow the way of David and Shlomo for 3 years. Kihochu bederach David u'shlomo l'shanim shalosh. And now, the end of the parak, we're not finished with the parak yet, we still have psukim yod ches through chav gimel, and now it tells us about the marriages and the progeny of Rechavam, and now he's going to get married to multiple wives, and he's going to have children. The first woman that he marries is a woman named Machlas ben Yerimos ben David. Machlas, the daughter of Yerimos, the daughter of David. However, Rabbi Steinzeltz writes, there is no record that King David had a son of this name. Perhaps he was born at the end of King David's life or mentioned elsewhere by a different name. Furthermore, Rechavam married Avihail bat Eliav ben Yishai. So he married women of royal lineage. He is a king. He comes from Shlomo, who comes from David, who comes from Yishai. He's marrying, in essence, his cousins or his nieces, and he is also keeping the royal lineage within the family. And now one of his wives bore him sons. Pasuk Yud Tes. It just says Vateilid lo banim. So we don't know which wife in Perek Yud Ches had the sons. Was it Machlas or was it Avihail? We don't know. One of the wives had sons. Yeush, Shmaria, Zaham. And after he married someone else, he took a woman named Ma'acha Bas Avshalom. Now he marries another wife from his own extended family, Ma'acha Bas Avshalom, and this becomes his favorite wife. And she bore from Avia, Atai, Ziza, and Shlomis. And the Pasuk says, Beferush, as is often the case in Tanakh, a husband will have a favorite wife from all of wives. Vaya'ahav Rechavam es Ma'acha Bas Avshalom mikol Nashav upilag shav. He loved who? Ma'acha, the daughter of Avshalom, more than all his wives, more than all his concubines. She was his favorite, which is very common in Tanakh. He took 18 wives and 60. 6-0, this is Pasuk of Aleph, 18 wives and 60 concubines. He had 28 sons and 60 daughters. So he is successful, I guess you could say, in his own kingdom. The Kohanim and the Levium come to him. He's building cities of fortification. Everyone in Yehuda and Binyamin looks to him for rulership. And now in these psukim, again at the end of the parak, we're told about his expanding family. He had 18 wives, 60 concubines. Unbelievable, especially in the day and age in which we live. It's hard for us to understand this concept, certainly of multiple wives. And therefore he fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. But since Ma'acha was his favorite wife, like we already said, the Pasuk says, Pasuk of Beis, Vaya'amed l'rosh Rechavam es Avia ben Ma'acha l'nagid be'achav. He appoints a son of Ma'acha, his favorite wife, whose name is Avia, Aleph, Bet, Yud, then Hey, l'nagid be'achav, to be the ruler amongst his brothers, ki laham licho, because in order to make him king. So he has big plans for this son of Ma'acha, who is named Avia. Once again, Avka. Hey, father and God. So you see that the kings are supposed to have in mind that the father of the king, the father of a Jewish king at least, is the Ribono Shel Olam. So he is going to appoint this child. And Rabbi Dean Steinzelt says, Avia was not the eldest son. However, Rechavam chose him to take his place and to inherit the throne. Final pasuk of Perek Yud Aleph. Vayaven, and he built. Vayifrot, and he expanded. Mikol banav l'chol ha'artzot Yehuda u'binyamin. L'chol arei ha'mitzuros. He had so many sons, so many progeny, so many children, he was able to disperse them throughout the lands of Yehuda and Binyamin to all of his fortified cities. And he gave them food in abundance. Vayitein lahem ha'mazon l'rov. So he spreads his sons out into all the fortified cities that he built. Vayislacham, Chevron, Tekoa. He gives them food in abundance. Vayishal hamon nashim. He saw for himself a multitude of wives. And this is how Perek Yud Aleph ends. So we are told in this Perek, again a recap, that he is warned not to go to war against Yeravam ben Nevat, and he does not go to war. We are told that the Levim and the Kohanim gather in his territory because Yeravam was preventing them from serving God as they are supposed to. And finally, we are told he builds fortified cities as well. And finally, the end of the Perek tells us about the family of Rechavam, all of his, many of his wives, many of his children, his favorite child, of course, Aviya ben Ma'acha, who he is preparing for rulership. I hope you're enjoying the learning through Divrei Amen Bet. I certainly am. I think it's absolutely fascinating. Torah Hashem Temima, Meshivas Nefesh, Edus Hashem Ne'emana, Machkimas Pesi. I thank you for studying together with me. Lilui Nishma Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef, Allah HaShalom. May her neshama have an aliyah in the schud of the Torah that we shared. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol Tov. I will learn more with you tomorrow. Looking forward.